It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 371, entitled Clients Don't Actually Care. It was recorded on Monday, the 27th of April, 2026. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by three fabulous guests. I'm joined by Remcus de Vries, by Tim Nash, and by Mark Benzekane. Apologies for the extended lapse in producing episodes of This Week in WordPress. I've been a little bit poorly, but then after that, I had a little bit of holiday time around WordCamp Asia. So we're back though, and hopefully you will enjoy this. It's a WordPress podcast, so guess what? We talk a lot about WordPress. In summary, we talk about WordPress 7.0 and the fact that it was punted and it wasn't released at WordCamp Asia. Why was that? We have a lengthy chat about that. We talk about a new tool which purports to make it easy to contribute at WordCamps if you attend WordCamp Contributor Day. Tim Nash has thoughts on that as well. There's a new team which is going to be helping launch the 2027 theme. We touch briefly on that. And then the majority of today's episode is all about the admin bar survey. It's called the State of WordPress Agency, and we get into a conversation which goes off in all sorts of different directions and really uses a lot of the podcast. We talk about a new initiative at Automattic giving their employees, or some of their employees, a whole month to pursue projects of their own choosing. That's really interesting. And then very much towards the end, we talk about a new theme that has launched, and we also get into the news that WooCommerce subscriptions has been turning off auto renewals that could have affected many people's bottom lines. It is all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. It is number 371. That's what it says, so I'll believe it, of This Week in WordPress. We're here to drone on about WordPress. The four of us, I think, are quite good at droning on about WordPress. Apologies, panel, that wasn't supposed to be insulting, but it kind of came across like that, didn't it? I'm very sorry. It was supposed to be self-deprecating.
That's it. I'm out of here.
Barely begun. Yeah, it's totting. That's the plan. We talk about WordPress rather a lot. I don't think we're going to stray too much into other subjects, but we've got the usual smorgasbord of plugins and themes and all of that kind of thing. If you would like to join us in this, feel free to do that. After the fact, you obviously can't comment live, but you can comment on the blog post on wpbuilds.com. But if you happen to get a notification to your email and you are watching this live, the best place to go is this one URL, and it's wpbuilds.com/live, like that, wpbuilds.com/live. If you go there, then you've got two options. If you're logged into a Google account, you can use the comment box on the right on desktop or underneath on mobile. But if you don't want to be logged into a Google account, there's a little black box on the player itself, something like live chat is what it says. Click on that. And that's the chat that comes through the platform. So, you know, feel free to click that. That would be great. So who have we got today? Well, you can see. Let's go round the houses. Let's go this way. It's Mark Benzekane first. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing fantastic. Amazing.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Two in the morning or something where Mark lives. So he's pushing through. What time is it?
It is. It's 6:04 a.m.
Thank you. I have no words. I'm very appreciative. Let's go with that. So I'll read the bio so that you can have a small break, have a coffee. Mark Benzekane is the Partnerships and Community Lead at MainWP, where he spends his time working with plugin developers, agencies, and service providers across the WordPress ecosystem. He's been involved with WordPress for many years and is particularly interested in helping site owners keep control of their own infrastructure while still benefiting from the broader plugin and hosting landscape. At MainWP, he focuses on partnerships, community management, and using those partnerships to help unlock and extend what's possible with the open source ecosystem. Outside of work, Mark keeps busy by drinking coffee, creating hands-on projects. He's usually tinkering with a new idea, building something in the workshop, experimenting with design and graphics, or finding excuses to get outside on his bike now that the weather supports those excuses. He also spends lots of time writing and generally exploring whatever interesting project happens to grab his attention this week. I have rediscovered my bike as well this week, which has been quite nice over the last couple of days. So thank you for joining us, Mark.
Really, well, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.
Always appreciate it.
Yeah, well, likewise, really appreciate it. Thank you. And let's go clockwise, I guess, is that? And we'll get to Remkes. Hello, Remkes.
Hello, Nathan.
Mark. It's been a while.
It has.
How are you doing?
Well, there's a reason for why it's been a while, because, you know, I was being picked on in the one or 4 or 5 years ago. So I was like, yeah, we're not doing that.
But I can only apologize if it was me. What did I do? It has been a while. I think probably several months since you've been on. And
yeah, you know, yeah. I've been busy. I've been very, very busy. Not that I'm not busy right now, but yeah, just lots of moving parts, lots of stuff going on.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to find out more about that next week. I failed to spot something that Remkes was doing.
No.
Anyway, here we go. Here's the Remkes bio. Remkes de Vries is a WordPress performance specialist. He co-founded Scanvally, a site health and performance monitoring tool, and runs Within WordPress, home to The Guild, alongside courses, a newsletter, and a podcast for those serious about building better WordPress sites. He also runs Truer Than North, which is a strategic guidance service for companies in the WordPress world for making the right technical and ecosystem decisions. So that's Remkes. And on the screen, if you can see it, you can see the URL for the Scanfully product, scanfully.com. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate that. Lastly, Tim Nash, who always leaves his bio to the last minute, so I don't have a chance to practice it. And here it goes. How are you doing first, Tim? You all right?
I'm fine. Today it was unusual. I don't normally leave it to the last second.
So no, that's true.
Apologies for the mediocre bio. I think Remkes may have been referring to our attempt to get him to do a rap battle with somebody else rather than
him. Oh, yeah, that had totally gone...
What that via Twitter?
It was Cromwell, wasn't it? Cromwell, wasn't it? Oh, Cromwell. We wanted you to get it. Yeah.
And I say, if you hadn't were watching the episode, that could have looked much worse than if you'd actually watched it.
One of the nice things about my brain, and it is a nice thing, but it's also a terrible thing, is my capacity to forget things is truly profound. And I'd completely forgotten about that. I really haven't.
I haven't.
Comes flooding back. That was so much fun. I'm so sorry.
You were threatening. You were trying to gain violence. And there's me going, no, I'm singing. I want them to sing.
I was trying to get Remkes to beat up Matt Cromwell, wasn't I? If memory serves.
Yeah, that was the goal. I think it was a two-man enter, one-man leaves kind of thing.
I think we know the outcome of that battle, but let's not revive that whole thing. I'm only going to make it worse. So here's just, this isn't going to go well, is it? Here we go. Tim Nash's biography. I see. Star Trek. Right. Here we go. Captain's log. Stardate 47291.6. Discovered life form. Tim Nash, a security consultant specializing in WordPress. He seems to be some sort of educator. While observing him, he seems to help developers, site owners, and businesses navigate the hostile sectors of website security, practical risk, and modern web infrastructure. First contact protocols engaged. Visit his site at timnash.co.uk. That's not bad for just throwing it together at the last minute. I quite like that. Star Trek fans will get it anyway.
Yes.
Okay.
Where did you come up with the Stardate?
When I said to my favorite local AI, hey, come up with a Star Trek themed based on a captain's log entry for me, it came up with the star date.
There you go. It came up with the star date. Okay, lovely. So there's our panel. We'll be chatting about WordPressy bits and pieces. Like I said, if you want to join us, feel free to do that. Drop a comment in. Oh, there's a few people that have put a comment in. So here we go. One's from Tim Nash, so I'll ignore that one. One's from Remkes de Vries, so is that rude? Is it rude to ignore your comments because you're on the show? No, it is, isn't it? Hi, folks. Hope you're having a good week, says Tim Nash. And Remkes says, this week is awesome so far, but probably have better gauge of things after this podcast. Yeah, could easily. I think we know already how it's going to go. Elliot Sowersby, just down the road from me. Hello. Hope all is well. Reese Wynn, afternoon, folks, and welcome back.
And Elliot Richmond, good day, EWP Builds and Panel. Seems we have a panel of cyclists. Oh, nice. That's good to know. I should explain why we've been away from the interwebs. Firstly, I went into hospital and had some eye things done. So that knocked me out for a few weeks. And then I went to I went to WordCamp Asia in India. And listeners to the podcast from many years back will know that when I started the podcast, I did every episode with a chap called David Wormsley. Really lovely guy. But I don't know, 2 years ago or something, he moved on from WordPress. So we stopped doing the podcast together, but we very much kept in touch and started another podcast called The No Script Show. And he lives in India. And so after WordCamp Asia, I spent a couple of weeks basically abusing his hospitality. As him and his wife took me around India, and I've had a absolutely fabulous time. So, you know, no regrets there. And then I landed with a bump on Saturday, and this show kind of has brought me back to reality. So, okay, there we go. That's why the show hasn't been going on, but that's why we are back. Right, let's share the screen and get stuck into it. Here we go. Oh, let's forget the promotional stuff. Put your name, put your email in that thing, press go, you know, we'll send you email. Yeah, how's that? And then I did an episode with...
How many emails will you send, Nathan?
I'll send two a week. Two a week. There's a strict no spam guarantee. Apart from the spammy ones, they'll be full of spam, but the non-spammy ones won't have any spam at all. But yeah, two emails a week, something like that. And there's our archive. They're the episodes that we've done recently. A few of these went out whilst I was in Asia. I scheduled them all. So I did one with Jamie Marslin, where I debated him about the usefulness of AI. And frankly, it wasn't worth it. He's not a rival. I absolutely wiped the floor with him. He's going to hate me for saying that. He's going to absolutely hate me for saying that. We spent a lot of time in Asia and carried on the debate endlessly. Both of us claimed victory, but I'm certain that I was the winner. I also did an episode with Jonathan Jernigan, with Brian Gardner, and then recently with this chap here who's got this plugin called Tilbucci. So go and check those episodes out. And that's it, really. Let's get stuck into the content itself. I was very excited heading to WordCamp Asia because Jonathan DeRosier and I did an episode where we talked about the fact that WordPress 7 was going to be released with all this fanfare at Contributor Day, WordCamp Asia, like this big red button kind of event, you know, where all the people gather around, a big button is hit and WordPress gets released. It's a gimmick, but I think it's quite a good gimmick. Quite like the idea of mixing live events with releases and things like that. However, it got pulled at the last minute because of, well, we'll get into why in a moment, but we have a new release date. Hopefully this one will be stuck to. It's about, I don't know, 3 weeks from now, something like that. May the 20th is the upcoming release date. There isn't really much to say about that, just that that is the date, the new date. But I don't know if any of you have got more wisdom than I have about why it was pulled. I just know it had something to do with collaborative editing. And the fact that the, I guess the way that it was being handled wasn't performant. I think it was all handled as metadata, whereas now I think the move is to push it into a specialized table for this collaborative editing experience. So I'm going to hand it over. If any of you can explain what the heck that was, I would be most grateful. So over to you, if you feel you can do that. And there's total silence. Nobody knows. Okay, fine. In which case, I'll just read it from the screen. I'll read the bits that I've highlighted. Da, 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 da. Apparently, it was... Let's have a look here. Da, da, da. Here we go. The release was originally scheduled for April the 9th during Contributor Day at WordCamp Asia, but was paused in late March after WordPress co-founder Matt Mullenweg called for a return to the beta phase to allow more time to address, and I guess this is the thing, a cache invalidation issue found in real-time collaboration. And there's some more bits and pieces here, but it basically seems that there was a bit of a snafu, and if we had have gone into live production, it wouldn't have been all that performant. And anyway, now the idea really is that there's been a call for some of the big hosts to get involved in testing this, because unlike other releases, where it's just a release of WordPress, you know, things have changed. This one really could impact you, I suppose, if you're a smaller host on budget hosting.
Not if you're a smaller host. If you're a bigger host, it's going to have a fundamental screw effect on you. If you're running shared hosting and you're running on a 5-10% CPU margin, you're already running with overstuffing your memory supply, which is like every host outside of a few of the very expensive ones, that you're all going to suddenly discover that every single WordPress website is going to have a sudden massive impact performance if it's on by default, which is something that has been told repeatedly all the way through, that one thing you can't do is have a performance impact on this. You don't want to centralize things into a central server that's owned by one company, and you don't want to have performance impacts at the host level because they won't be able to do their margins, and everybody's hosting is going to go up for a feature that's going to be used by literally no one. And it does feel very much like we haven't done any testing across the board. And when they started to do the testing, it all went horribly wrong. Right. Rant over.
Is it purely the nature of, so in a previous iteration of WordPress, you know, 6.9 and before, when you start to edit a post or a page, you load up the experience of the editor, whichever editor you're using, then you do your stuff, not much is happening, click save or publish or what have you, or update, and then information flies back between the host and you, and that's the moment where things start to, you know, use workers and what have you. Whereas in this collaborative editing experience, is it just more or less a constant stream, a trickle of things backwards and forwards? Because on the screen here, it says awareness is the data that tracks who else is currently editing the post. So awareness is the name that is being given to this sort of feature, I guess. It's tracking their presence, cursor position, and selection, and it's read and written on every poll cycle. Now, I don't know what that poll cycle means, which is why it's become central as a performance question for the next release candidate.
So if you imagine you sitting by yourself, you would write your document and you would hit save.
Yep.
That would send a single HTTP request. Now, secretly, actually, behind the scenes, the editor was sending other HTTP requests, especially with Gutenberg, with the blocks. Every time you dropped a block on it, was making a HTTP request. But generally, the big component was hit the save button, HTTP request over. Heartbeat was going in the background. That was making some requests back. But you could be doing most of this in isolation, and you'd be having very little impact.
Right.
Now, every time you move the mouse, it's sending data back to the server. So the server has, and if there's two of you on the post, it's now repeating that information back out. So it's got to relay it to however many people are looking. So let's get into a wonderful world where we are collaborating. Let's say all four of us are collaborating, and each one of us is moving our mouse, our mice around the screen and editing things. Now think about that, how many requests are suddenly hitting this server. That's absolutely fine on your VPS running on a managed host. I don't imagine your DAP engines, Kinsters of this world are going to have any problems for most people. Now imagine your $199 a year host.
Yeah.
Which is not atypical of what the vast majority of people run on. If you think about those shared host boxes, they are going to have so many problems. Do get brown over the CPU and RAM constraints, they might even hit the sheer number of connections they're connecting up, depending on what's happening at any given point. And if you end up in a scenario where you are maxing out the transit to the server, there's nothing you can do about that. If you either have to split out of the boxes, which is going to cost you more money, or say no, we have to turn that feature off. I am imagining a lot of hosts are going to just disable this this is no reflection on whether it's even the right tool or the right thing or if it should exist in the first place. It is simply a case of a reactionary knee-jerk reaction will be to turn it off and investigate later.
Right. Right.
Because that's how hosts work, and that's how they have to work, because they work at scales that are scary. I was so surprised when this turned up in 7.
Okay.
Gone from we would like to do this. Yeah, we're going to experiment on this too. Oh, it's in 7 now. And there just seems to have been very little. Hang on. Can we do real world test? You know, if you take something like Gutenberg, that took several years of real world tests before it even got in to the Five editor. And this feels like it's accelerated at such a rate, and the result was it gets pulled, which is
the curious thing here as well is that it's not users that needed to do the test. Well, they did, but you know, it's more the hosting companies, right? Because they're the points of failure. And from this article, I don't know that I've highlighted these bits, but this is also a clarion call for hosting companies to get involved as well. And I know they've had feedback from some of the usual suspects.
It's unfortunately not going to be the usual suspects. The usual suspects are going to be going, yeah, we can do that because we're the good guys in this scenario. It's the generic unwashed hosts, your smaller hosts who are going to also be utterly unprepared. Because no one's telling them this. There's not a big campaign to let hosts know. A call by Matt in one corner of the internet, hiding in a make post somewhere, is not. And a message in the hosts and on make Slack in the host section does not constitute a campaign to tell hosts that, oh, by the way, we might be turning on a feature that might impact. It's just
will impact.
Well, I guess the argument could argue might in that the vast majority of sites still only have a single user. So while they will be exponentially increasing the amount of calls that one user makes,
but that is, I mean,
still going to scale mass horribly.
Yeah, I think the if you look at the feature itself, and you know, I've had hundreds, maybe up into thousands of clients and build sites for. I have maybe a handful for whom this would be fully practical. That said, Matt Mullenweg highlighted a case, I think it was on X somewhere at some point, where he essentially said, this is a feature that is particularly well-suited for AI to be the collaborative second
person.
That's
right, I remember that, yeah.
And I hadn't considered that position. So if we take that in and the rise of AI as we see it, it will be used more than the 3-4% that it's currently claimed. But your recap and as to the whole impact, Tim, that is very spot on. It's just we're going to hear the most amount of shit from the most amount of shitty hosting companies when this is going to be pushed as is.
I mean, on the plus side, where it was before, I think that last paragraph that does not highlight, but it's on the screen. The pre-release implementation generated close to 4,000 SQL queries in a 2-minute collaborative window.
No.
Databases don't like that.
No.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I would go as far as saying they hate it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So this then raises a question of, and to Tim's point earlier, I do this show weekly. This has been coming and coming and coming, but for the longest period of time, everybody was talking about it as a nice to have kind of, oh, it's off in the distance somewhere. And then I think you're right, Tim, it suddenly was going to be in core like 2 months ago or something like that. It suddenly got parceled up as a, we're going to run this as part of core. And it is kind of surprising in a way, isn't it, that it never... this particular aspect of it, you know, the burden on the server, which I think everybody that probably has dealt with this probably knew in the background that somehow it didn't get surfaced and punted.
I think every single naysayer of this would pointing it out.
Yeah.
We're talking like years ago when this was first mentioned. It was like, no, because the only way you can do this is centralizing it or burn a server to running it.
Yeah.
And it seems like they've fixed a lot of it to get it somewhere performant, but that's still not the same as performant.
Yeah.
But what's really, this will be a rantiness, is 12 months ago, we were all talking about Canonical plugins and how Canonical plugins were the future. And we should definitely talk about Canonical plugins and Canonical plugins. Where'd that go?
Are you meaning this feature as a Canonical plugin?
Well, the idea was that we were going to have WordPress core was going to be really lean and light, and that, you know, there were certain features that we might need that we should, but they should be given as a Canonical plugin. So they're still owned by WordPress. They're still maintained to the same high standards, the same release cadence, but wouldn't take up space in the very lean and light WordPress of the future. And roll on 9 months, and we've got an MCP servery thing coming in, an agent, a whole new AI agent set of thing that's in there, with meaning for the first time ever, we're going to have credentials now in databases, and this all in one release. It feels like where at some point that idea of Canonical plugins just got thrown out the window.
Yeah, or at least
not, again, that's not even a criticism of whether it's good or bad. It's just like, we didn't even last 9 months.
Yeah.
Because I think that announcement might have been in Asia when they were talking about Canonical plugins last year. But it really was. So it might be 12 months. It might not be 9 months, since they were talking about the future is all Canonical.
Well, that's right. And this, now that you've mentioned it, it's dredged up my memory, which is exactly that this would be, that Canonical plugins would be like this repository of things which could have been in core, would get the same treatment as if it were core in terms of security updates and things like that. But it was more a toggleable set of things, if you like. You know, I don't need collaborative editing, so we'll switch that off, or at least never install it. You know, that's interesting. And I don't know if it was you, Tim, or Remkus in their little bit said that nobody will ever use it. I only really interact with WordPress websites, which I run nowadays. So I obviously, that tells you everything. I will never use collaborative editing in WordPress with how I've got it set up at the moment. But I'm imagining that some of the bigger players out there, you know, the TechCrunches and the, you know, that some of the big publishing houses that are using it, maybe that would be a nice feature for them to have, because, you know, their editorial team is messily trying to figure things out on Google Docs and then copy and paste, whatever that workflow looks like. But yeah, it kind of, everybody else gets to be the collateral damage because those small amount of websites use it. Okay, straw poll, the four of us, who will use collaborative editing the minute it becomes part of core? Hands up. No hands. Interesting. Okay.
And the idea of it maybe being used with an AI attached to it is interesting, but if your AI is having to use the direct post editor interface to drive everything, then that's probably not the right approach. So really what you're saying is that the collaborative component would be to render what the AI is managing to get in from an external endpoint coming in.
Tied up with notes, wasn't it? This sort of sidebar of, like we have in Google Docs with comments, I think they're called notes in the latest iterations of WordPress. And you would interact in that sidebar on the right, if you like. And then the output would then get put into the block editor, which then obviously in real time you could adapt and amend as it was typing it out. So, gosh. Okay. Anyway, the story there was that WordPress 7 got punted. And obviously that is a fairly big punt. Matt Mullenweg made the decision to punt it. And it sounds, Tim, from everything that you've said, as if that was the right decision, because there could have been some sort of systemic collapse on.
I wouldn't, I'm not going to say that I would put money on it, but I wouldn't be shocked if come the next release, it actually does get, that this gets ejected out and that they go, actually, we've talked to people. We're going to save face. We're going to throw this as a collab. We're going to put this in a plugin territory for a little bit, get more feedback, get it running properly. And that's absolutely fine thing to do. And I think I would be much more on board with it coming into core once it's been through that sort of release phase. Mm. And also, I think I'd have a lot more respect for people. People who are brave enough to say, actually, yeah, we need to punt this, and we shouldn't be slowing things down. We need to punt this and get this. We can come back to it. Load of respect for people doing that, because it's not easy to do, especially when your boss has made it the most important thing ever for him.
The other thing, I suppose, is the canvas that you're working on, like Google Docs. It's a plain white sheet, isn't it? And, you know, and you've got various functions, and, you know, you can bold things and italicize things and what have you, but it's really constrained. And if you open up one of their spreadsheets, again, it's fairly constrained in what you can do. WordPress has this aspiration. Well, there's just like a trillion different things that you can do with WordPress. Like, does this collaborative layer start to be involved in theming? You know, can you collaborate on the theming side of WordPress and things like that? I don't know.
You already
anyway,
can.
There you go. Yeah, but that then, of course, makes it all the more complicated. Whereas the Google, I mean, God knows how much money Google spend on their servers each year.
Can you imagine getting two people and they're collaboratively, and you can edit the palette section? I want it pink. I want it green. I want it pink.
Yeah, that's
I want
right.
it green.
Yeah. Well, this font. No, we're not having that font. Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. So there we go. There's some thoughts on that. We've had a few comments come in. Glad to have you back, says Kev Clark. Hello, Kev. Nice to have you with us. Remke's made a comment. Oh, we were talking about bikes. There you go. Yeah, I was talking about a push bike, which I presumed is what they were talking about. Patricia says hello. I'm guessing this is Matt Medeiros. Oh, you got a nice new icon, Matt. How many speed limits did Remke break to get back to do this podcast? I don't know. Where was he? In Cloud PressConf, is that what
on,
he's talking
on
about?
Saturday morning? I was at Checkout Summit in Palermo, Sicily, Italy.
Okay. Driving?
Driving.
When was that you were in Palermo?
Saturday morning.
And how many miles is that you had to achieve to get back to the Netherlands?
I don't know about freedom units, but it's 2,600 kilometers.
Okay. Yeah, that... Yeah. Was there any speeding? Oh, no, you're in... There's quite a lot in Germany, I guess. You can.
So let's just say I really behaved in Switzerland, which is what...
yeah.
Which is what one
which
does.
Which is why he's on the podcast today.
Yeah. And Elliot's rebutted with at least Italy has a majority of straight roads.
Italy was very smooth, I'll have to say.
I love driving around in Italy, especially coastal roads. There's so much fun. Oh, boy.
I didn't know much of that, but I did still have fun. So, yeah.
Can you just tell us, Remkes, I know that this isn't in the show notes or anything like that, but you've been to two events recently, haven't you? You went to PressConf in, I want to say Phoenix, but it's not Phoenix, is it? It's
Tempe. In the greater Tempe. Phoenix area, yes.
Yeah. And also the one that you just mentioned, Checkout Summit. Do you feel willing to just give us a quick... Yeah. appraisal of what the heck that was and what they were like and what you enjoyed and whatnot?
So both are not WordCamps, but WordPress-centric events. PressConf is a gathering of people more on the executive / makers and movers type corner of WordPress people, I would say. Very different types of conversations and presentations, but incredibly valuable for anyone really vested and interested in the WordPress and the state of it and the future of it to be at that event. PressConf, I highly recommend anyone who's serious about WordPress to at least visit once. It'll make you want to visit a second time.
Nice.
Not just the presentations, but or the vibe of the event itself, but just the conversations and who are there. It's a good place to have those types of conversations, which you may occasionally have at a WordCamp, but it's quite different if the whole event is around those types of conversations. Which I mean, you know how it is. There's an environment that there are particular environments that open up different types of conversations that are
right.
good to have. So that's PressConf.
Okay.
Checkout Summit is WooCommerce related, WooCommerce centric, and it's roughly the same type of crowd, but then WooCommerce. It's also different conversations. It's also incredibly good to have Woo people in the room. Most notably, James Kemp and Brian Cords.
Okay.
Three things I think have been mentioned are Woo should really fix this, and on the go, James is processing them. So we were jokingly saying there's going to be three hot fixes being released on Woo. But the whole point is it's good to understand there's many players very active in the WooCommerce ecosphere that are not doing more than talking via text, essentially, right? So when
right.
you meet in person, you have longer and better and deeper conversations. And it's the type of conversations we need to have if we're if we're to move this community to the next level, whether that's WordPress or WooCommerce, both apply. Checkout Summit was, I mean, it's in Italy. It's in Sicily.
Palermo, right?
Yeah, Palermo.
Right on the beach, more or less.
No, literally on the
beach. Yeah.
It's a stone's throw away. We're looking out at over to the sea as we're having breakfast and dinner. Rodolfo did a wonderful job as a single organizer organizing that event. And he just brought the right type of crowd in one room. And again, it's Italy. This is not an exaggeration. We had a just essentially dinner at a pizzeria nearby, like literally nearby between us and the beach. So super close. And I have had the best pizza in my life.
Yes.
Randomly.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the only
Italians don't do bad food. That's not an option, is it? They just do not allow it.
And the vibe of the event matched that feeling of the best pizza. Like there's lots of things came together. Presentations were good spin-offs for conversations, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, if you haven't been, you should feel FOMO. Both were really good events, and we should have many more of these non-WordCamp types of events.
Do you know if Rodolfo's planning on doing Checkout Summit again?
He will. In fact, the first version of what he's done just now is Checkout Summit Reloaded, which is an offline version of this. So check out checkoutsummit.com, and there's more information on that. But yes, all signs are pointing into the direction that this will be a repeat.
Yeah, I had quite a few conversations with him in the run-up to it. And the bit that I took away from it was how incredibly seriously he was taking it all. I don't mean that in a negative. I just meant that he appeared to be sweating every detail and being concerned in the nuts and the bolts of it all, as opposed to being sort of hands-off and paying for people to organize everything. It felt like he was the decision-maker here, there, and everywhere, which could be a heartache, but he seemed to be embracing it.
Yeah. Can I comment on Elliot's comment?
Yeah, okay. Best. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Elliot. Best pizza in.
Elliot, you're going to have to believe me as a connoisseur of pizzas and Italians literally saying the same thing, that this was absolutely the best pizza I've ever had and they have ever had.
Do you know about Elliot's side gig? Elliot, I feel like a trip to check out Summit next year is going to be, you can have some sort of pizza bake-off.
So now, I was going to say, now we need two ovens.
We could do some sort of collaborative editing.
Forget rap battles, we're on to pizza wars. Elliot, this is easy.
Okay.
So for the record, I'm not about wars and fighting, Tim.
Yeah.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I think food wars is about the point where I'm quite keen.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, that's that one. That's until someone mentions pineapple, and then that's
you had to ruin things, Mark.
Okay, so he now wants to know what the restaurant's called.
I can find it somewhere.
Okay, he's going to Google it for you and have a little look, Elliot. That's great. So there we go. We have a battle set up 12 months from now in Palermo. Elliot's going to rock up with all of his gear. We can see who does, in fact, do the best pizza. That's brilliant. That's so much less aggressive than the previous thing between Matt and Remkes. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. There are two sort of events that we haven't really mentioned much on this show. There you go. I see a pizza speed builder coming along. Pizza press. Okay, so the comments are just going to be about pizzas from now on, I can tell. Right, let's put this screen back up and see where we got to next. Okay, this is a sort of WordCamp sort of thing. It may or may not be of interest to you, but I don't know if you... I can't say that I've experienced this because I'm not a developer, but if you have shown up to a WordPress event in the past, and let's say this was your first time and you don't have your machine set up, perhaps you had this idea that you turn up to Contrib Day and just get stuck right in and 10 minutes from sitting down, you'd be fruitfully engaged in part of the WordPress project. Well, not apparently. That's not how it works, because allegedly, Wanmar is saying a lot of people get lost at WordPress Contributor Day, so much so that people actually just sort of leave halfway through the setup of their machines because they're just, I guess, just a bit weary of it. They figure out that they're not going to achieve anything just because the whole process of getting your Mac or Windows machine or whatever it is set up's a bit of an ache. And so Wanmar has decided to take this on, and he has built the Core Dev Environment Toolkit, which is, let's just call it, a one-click install of everything that you need in order to be up and running. I'm not sure how effective it is. Wanmar, maybe I'll grab him on a podcast or something like that. But I just thought this was quite an interesting little project. There's some there's some videos about how it all works, and Matt jumped into the comments and said, awesome. He'd like to see if he can get it sort of torrented around the room so that if one person's got it correctly set up, everybody in the room can just sort of leech off their correct setup and get going. Not really a story there, but I'll drop that one in. If anybody wants to comment, now is the moment. But if not,
it's weird. We already have WordPress Core Environment Dev setup.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So you've got things like Davy-env, which is the worst name possible for a local development environment agency. But it's basically a one click. You get going, and you can have either it. You can drop it into any into a folder that has a plugin or a theme, and you can just literally type Davy-env start. I think it's start, and it will load up that plugin for you set up. But if you just want to do something with Core, you just literally, I think it's WPMV Core, and off it goes, and it gets you all the Core setups. It was built originally for working with the Gutenberg stuff, so it was managed, I think, initially by the theme team. So this feels like we're just doing something again. This just looks more like it's just a wrapper for Playground, which is a terrible place to be doing Core tickets, I would have thought, because...
Tell me why.
Playground's awesome. Playground's amazing. Playground is not a proper PHP install of your WordPress site. Okay. Playground has interesting bugs.
Right.
Okay. It doesn't behave quite the same. It behaves mostly the same.
I wonder why Wanmar's done it. That's definitely a reason.
Simplicity, I guess, because one of the key things he has on there is it doesn't have Git, it doesn't have NPM, and it doesn't have Docker. And the problem with this is that to do serious Core development, sadly, you need to have some sort of Git SVN access. You unfortunately need to have NPM because we've become a JavaScript first CMS for a humongous part of it. So you need all the things he doesn't want you to have, but they are all utter barriers.
So interestingly, in the post, he does reference Core committers, doesn't he? So he says here, before writing a single line of code, a first-time WordPress Core contributor typically, and then on and on. So would there be any utility in this for somebody that was, I don't know, just sort of dabbling around and wanted to see what a contributor day felt like? Probably not, right? Okay, I'm puzzled now.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, it's basically he's wrapped Playground, which is great if you want to have a not quite like for like, but close to like setup. But then that's exactly what you could do. If you're going to do that, you could argue, well, shouldn't you use, is it Studio by WordPress.com that uses Playground?
Studio.
Or Playground. They're all available to you. So it feels like we've built yet another tool. I feel like I'm being really mean on people. I don't mean it. People are doing things like this.
No. I think it's kind of interesting.
At the same time, feels left and right hand. What would be awesome is that we saw development along the lines of Davy-env with a pretty interface on it for people who might be scared of using the terminal. That would be awesome. That doesn't seem to be what this is.
I will get in touch with Wanmar and see if he's willing to come on a podcast and explain what the core focus of that was, because that does seem curious, doesn't it? If you're lurking anywhere, Wanmar, let us know. One click, are you sure? No, I'm not sure. Mark. Sorry, Mark. Is that Mark Wilkinson? I think it is.
Also, just as an aside, even though it says it doesn't use NPM, it literally says as the second thing on its figures. What does it do? It clones. It's using Git and then runs NPM install. So at the minimum, it seems to be installing both Git and NPM onto your server, which means it's putting Node on to your computer. At this point, if you've got a previous copy of Node, you're probably having conflicts. It's probably all going to break. And now you've got a bunch of people getting angry at poor one for breaking their computers setups.
So, Mark, I was just taking that from this line here where it says, you install it, choose a directory for WordPress-develop, click a button, and you have. So that was why I went for that one.
I reckon local setup tools is one of the hardest things to get right.
Basically,
when we had XAMPP and all of those, they might have been the pinnacle of usability, surely because they isolated enough of it away, but just sort of seemed to work.
Getting
local dev tools to consistently work and not be a tech support nightmare. I have so much respect for people who try to do this. So I have respect for the project. Just think it would be great if we could, if it was a bit more coordinated.
Right. And also not an overlapping. Yeah. That's
we can overlap. It just needs to overlap in a way that is complementary.
Right. Okay. Well, like I said, I'll get in touch with Wanmar and we'll see if we can get him on the show. Cameron Jones. He's in the UK. Good afternoon from a surprisingly sunny Brighton. It's always sunny in Brighton, Cameron. I lived there for many years and it never stopped. It was relentless. And WP Iser, I'll just move on. It wasn't that funny. But thank you, Mark Westgaard. I guess that was you. I appreciate it. Okay, we've done two of the myriad articles, so we need to burn through the next one. I'm going to miss that one out because we just don't have time. But maybe I won't. Just very quickly, this appeared on the makewordpress.org. It's kind of related to what Wanmar was talking about. Contributing is hard, especially if you're new. And so there's a piece written by Velda, which came out a couple of days ago, 23rd of April. It's called Help Others Contribute to WordPress. And it's not the technical side of getting set up. It's more the sort of, you know, how do we make it accessible to other people in terms of walking things through and giving people issues that they can immediately grab hold of, like a menu, if you like, of here's a bunch of stuff which can be achieved in a day. Here's what you need to do. Here's how to do it, blah, 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 that kind of thing. So go and have a quick look at that one as well. And there's this idea of pathways as well, which is kind of scaffolding your contribution during those days. It feels like those contributor days are, I don't know, they're getting thin on the ground in places like WordCamp US and WordCamp EU, WordCamp Europe. But man, there were so many people at the contributor day at WordCamp Asia. Like, I'm going to say plural thousands. I don't know if it was that many, but that
there were 2,200 in total
in the contrib day.
No, at the event in total.
Okay. And I reckon most of them were at the contrib day. It certainly felt that way. The biggest room I've ever been in my life. I mean, it was truly enormous, that room. It was like, honestly, the size of a football pitch. And it was basically full of people contributing. So that excitement is definitely still in that part of the world, which was kind of interesting. So I don't know, maybe these things are not so much of an issue over there, but there's a piece that you can read. Just a bit of a hat tip, really, to Anne McCarthy. She wrote this piece. It's just spelling who's going to be on the 2027 theme team. So that's all there is there, really, but I just thought I'd mention it. And then where did we go to next? Kyle from the admin bar every year does this state of the WordPress agency report, or at least he's been doing it, I don't know, 3-4 years, something like that, where he goes into what it's like basically to be somebody that's employed building websites. So, you know, plugin developer, agency owner, I think more agency owner, freelancer kind of thing. In a normal world, we probably would have spent quite a while going through all of this, but really, I think what I'm just going to say is go and check it out. It's theadminbar.com/2026 survey. And what the takeaway is, really, I suppose if you were to distill it into one line, it's getting harder to make a living using WordPress. Not impossible, certainly not impossible, but harder. And it seems like people that have been doing it for a while seem to do better than people that are coming into it for the first time, which, you know. Did anybody have a comment on that? Did anybody read a bit which they thought was worth drilling down into?
I read through it, and I found it actually a pretty fascinating article. Yeah. And it's interesting. It's interesting that personal burnout ended up as high as it did. I didn't expect it quite up as high as it is, but it's number three on the reasons that that the agencies are being held back. And then the client management and scope is at the very bottom, which also surprised me. But of course, I don't do a ton of agency work, so what do I know? But it is different than I would have expected it to be. And of course, he attributes the burnout to basically underpricing your product, which makes perfect sense. If you're working extra hard and you're making less money, you know, then obviously you're going to get burned out. If you're working 24 hours a day and making $2 a week, you're going to get burned out.
I know that you collaborate with a lot of people over at MainWP. Do you collaborate mm-hmm. quite a bit with the admin bar? Because it feels like the stuff that they're doing over there, or at least particularly this, like mm-hmm. really fits well with what you do as a business. You know, the data that they're drawing out here would be really interesting to your audience, I'm guessing, Mark.
I definitely read pretty much everything that they put out at the admin bar. And I think Kyle has some really good insights. We have interacted, but we haven't really done a lot of collaboration, no. I wouldn't say that. But I really did appreciate this article, though.
It's basically, you know, it's like lots of chart. If you're not watching this and you're listening to it, you kind of got to read it. There's lots of different charts drilling down into different bits of business, like burnout, like how much do people make, how big are teams, what kind of things do they sell, how much do they charge for things, and all of that. And you know, there's a 30 something data points here. Yeah. So you can go and draw your own conclusions.
Well, and of course, some of the things you have to take with a grain of salt is like how much money they're making, because different parts of the world, obviously, you know, a dollar or whatever is going to go a lot further than others. So certain things you can only take into consideration so much, but it is really fascinating data.
Mm. And beautifully presented.
Very beautifully presented.
Yeah.
To say purely anecdotally from my own, because a lot of my clients are agencies, so I get to sort of chat through them. And the shift over the last couple of years has very much been the middle has been gutted. So if you were a mid-size agency, you're finding that the larger agencies or the more, which would have traditionally been the more expensive agencies, are now coming down at one level to come and try and poach your top end of your client base.
Oh.
Meanwhile, the lower level, the agencies that are tending to be much cheaper are coming up and taking your lower level, leaving you with very few pickings left. And so you end up in a scenario where you feel like you have to compete with one or the other, which then shifts you one way or the other. And too many people seem to not recognize their own value and therefore seem to be shifting downwards instead of upwards that chain. So they'll reduce their prices or they'll try and compete mm-hmm. with those lower value propositions, which I don't know. I feel like I vaguely remember a business course where they told me not to do that.
I'd like to add something to that, because I think in for the most part, you're spot on, Tim. But what I also see as a mix into that is, we've had a very, very long period where any type of relatively serious agency could get work. There was plenty of work to go around. We have entered a phase where what you're saying is happening, as well as specific agency that specialize in let's call it two or three things, are doing much better than those who have never absolutely went in and said, look, we're not just treating this as work, but we're treating this as an opportunity to shine in certain areas of the development thing. So whether that is WooCommerce and LMSs and, I don't know, something else, or whether that's a particular market they're focusing on, we have entered the phase where this is absolutely a necessity, because there's plenty of agencies that I talk to on very different levels, quite similarly to yours, Tim, where most of the connections that I have are with agencies. They're finding it very difficult to understand where the thing went wrong, but the thing went wrong 3-4 years ago when you weren't specializing and telling people you are specializing. I've seen so many agency sites over the I don't know, past 6 months, just people reaching out to me, asking questions and asking for help or a small analysis or whatever. And I look at their website and it's like, I'm aware of what you do because I've seen some of your work, but I don't see it on your site. There's no specification of a niche or a particular skill that sets you apart from anybody else. So if a client is looking, they're going to see the same thing. They're going to go, I recognize that this particular agency is very specialized in XYZ. I need Y and Z. So that's good enough. That's what I'll go for. That whole, and I kind of hinted at that at my latest, one of my latest blogs, I think. We as a community and players in that community, we need to level up in our entire thinking, in our entire skill set, in our entire integrations of all the tools that we use. We need to understand what's out there, what's in there, in order to become the best type of development party, as well as understand that we need to brand ourselves. We need to be out there. It's a different world. We can't go on how we've been doing I saw something like the median age of that survey,
yeah.
11 years or so. But in those 11 years, 8 of them have been relatively easy. So if you don't recognize that, if you're not aware that this is in part also a very large thing about branding, a large thing about visibility, a large thing about understanding what your skill sets are and not afraid to use them as a thing that sets you apart, it's very difficult to find continuous growth in a period where the level of skills needed to get the base projects done is going down. That is AI. And on the complex end of things, yeah, if an agency has a really good profile on large complex projects, then it's very logical they're going to get those projects. If a small in-between agency is never, you know, every now and then touches the larger project but hasn't turned that into a skill that is sellable and presentable and all that sort of stuff, how is the market going to react? It's going to react pleasantly to those who have put in the work of marketing, of presenting, of case studies, all that sort of stuff. It's inevitable. Every single industry outside of our industry goes through these levels of, you know, there's growth and then you hit a plateau. Something needs to change when you hit that plateau. And the thing that needs to change is very much something that you need to see coming instead of, all right, now I have to do something. You're already 2 years too late. Now is the time that you think, I need to change something. It's too late. So the only thing you can do is radically improve every single thing that you do. That is sales, that is marketing, that is development, that is understanding all the things that set you apart from a technical skill. It's everything.
It is so hard to niche down in a drought. When the pipeline is feeling good, that feeling of like, we can afford to niche down now. We can become that specialist, whether that's a niche subject or a niche tool set. But when there's a drought, as someone who's been there, been in that place, the panic mode that comes onto every business owner is because they've got to sit there. And ultimately, business owners are there going, I have to make payroll this month.
So I'm willing to take things to make payroll, to even if it makes my life 100 times worse down the line. Mm. There comes a point where you sort of have to do that just to scrap through and survive. But I agree. I think if you don't, if you weren't in a niche, if you're not in a niche now, you probably need to be in a niche really quickly. I think the only bit where I'm like, is I'm not necessarily sure the niche has to be tools. I don't think you need to be a niche WooCommerce developer or even I think you can niche out in a different way. You can maybe
there's various ways of audience. There's various ways of doing it. It can be topical. Yeah. It can be skill set. It can be many things. But you need to specialize in a way that is presentable, marketable, all those things. Because how is your next client going to know? How are they going to know? They're going to look at a generic site where you present your skills as we build themes, we build plugins, we're good at it. Yay!
Like, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. that's the thing is when you're in a boom or bust sort of. Industry, which is what we are, either you can do no wrong, right? Which is when you're in the boom, you can do no wrong, you're growing and everything. And then it becomes, I think it feels risky when you're in that boom to say, what do I specifically want to pick here when I can do no wrong?
Yeah.
And that's where the people succeed when there's the bust and are the people who look down the road and they can see it coming and they can choose wisely, or they just plain get lucky. You know, there's sometimes just plain dumb luck. You look at the oil booms and all that stuff. It's just sometimes it's just people pick the land that happen to have the oil, yep. You know? Yep. So I mean, it's the same type of thing.
Wait, you mean my two sticks are not going to get me oil?
Sadly.
Just dowsing along for my...
No
copper rods, maybe. Sticks won't work.
I've done 20 years of the two sticks thing, and I've never... No, just grass.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
Every evening, I'm out with the dowsing rods. So it's a fairly... So the report that we had on the screen from Kyle, it doesn't paint this sort of picture of... there's no sense of sort of doom there or anything like that, but this is the tenor of what is coming out of WordPress publishing houses at the moment, like podcasts and blogs and what have you. There's this sort of, how the heck do we navigate this thing? And so,
well, it starts with any problem. You recognize that it's a problem. So if you haven't identified it as a problem just yet, now is the time to level up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And pick a direction, and it can be multiple directions. Like it's not a binary thing. But I'll give you one good example. We all know AI has taken over some version of search. How much? We don't know, but it's certainly quantifiable now. If you have an agency and you haven't optimized your site in terms of this is what I do and all the things I just said, I'm not going to repeat all that, but you haven't made that available for the AI to do in the most smoothest way,
yeah,
that's an indication of you're running behind. There's a Cloudflare released a website last week, I think, or the week before. Is my site agentic? What is it? Yeah. Is it agentready.com?
Okay.
So for starters, add your site in there just to have you be aware of what your site needs to qualify for nowadays, okay. Just to be visible on the AI side of things. Like, yeah. All of these things matter now.
God, and that's just one piece of the jigsaw puzzle. So AI feels like a giant piece of that jigsaw puzzle, but it's also possible shrinking market share.
It can be all of the things, but you need to get off your ass and be proactive. There's no time for reactiveness now.
Okay, that's it. We're going to wrap this show up, and I'm going to go and I'm out of here. I'm going to do all the things that need doing. There's a few comments around this. This seems to be the piece today that's got the comments. Firstly, Mark in the UK, Mark Wilkinson said, "Getting harder." I would agree with that for sure. Seems to be no doubt about that. And then Mark made a few complimentary comments about what Tim was saying. I can't remember the context because it's several minutes ago now. Also, James Lau said he totally forgot about this show. Well, I don't know what to make of that, James, that betrayal. No, I'm joking.
It is.
But it's a good demonstration of promotion and branding being important. And your brand clearly failed because it didn't last even 3 weeks.
Okay, damn it. Okay. My brand, as if I have a brand. But I appreciate that, Tim. That's very kind of you. And then getting back to the real stuff, he says, I will be asking the state of the WordPress. I'll be asking about the state of WordPress from Mary Hubbard during tonight's Boston WordPress meetup. Okay, that's interesting. Thank you, James. Tim has a great point. As a small new agency owner, I am seeing this change. My niche, as is James commenting again, my niche has been eaten up by Squarespace, Webflow, etc. WP is still top, but people are asking for other options. It's truncated, so I'll read it. These platforms offer other integrated options, but I have to relearn my brain. And then an agreement.
That last sentence is spot on.
Yeah.
You have to relearn your brain.
Absolutely.
And then he's agreeing with you, Remkes, you need to see what's coming. Did it depend on the niche or the client?
And for the record, I don't mean like you need to have the glass ball, right? Nobody has that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there's changes in our industry and you need to embrace them instead of I'll look at it when I'm forced to or when the project asks for it. That you don't have that luxury anymore.
And then this sort of speaks into that a little bit. Again, James, I've accepted work from my niche that isn't only WordPress work. It's just the point we're at right now. Okay, so the niche is the thing, not WordPress being the thing.
But that's fine, because again, one of the things that we've got coming is that, and this has always been the case, but nobody's believed that clients don't actually care. They don't care. For example, they don't really truly care if you built their site on WordPress, as long as it meets the feature set that they wanted at the time. This can lead them down into terrible paths. When this is how, you know, dev shops that build custom CMSs still exist and shouldn't, but they still exist. But that's because clients don't actually care about that. Well, they care about the functionality. And if you give them what they wanted in terms of functionality, they don't care about what it was behind the scenes. In the same way that clients don't care if you manually update a site every day and keep it. They care about will you keep it up to date and will you keep it secure. How you do that, irrelevant to them. As long as you're doing it,
they couldn't give a flying
monkey.
Your niche no longer has WordPress as a feature in part of its about how part of the thing it cares about. Then you don't need to use Word. I know that's apocryphal on a WordPress podcast, but you don't need to use WordPress in that scenario.
I'm going to mute him so badly.
I know. You're going to, if you are someone who is now sitting and you write all your blog posts, or rather Claude writes all your blog posts, you might, and you're never going to review them. You're never going to do any formatting on it. You're never going to log in. You probably don't want WordPress anymore. And that's the thing we have to accept is, that is okay. That's always been okay.
I'm having heart palpitations.
Should have had to force them to do this.
Nathan's like, what is my podcast going to be about next week?
This week in talking.
He's going to change the name from WP Builds to, you know.
Builds.
Nathan Wrigley.
Builds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I agree, Tim. That makes perfect sense. And I'm sure that on many levels, many of us have got it. You have also spawned this week's titles episode, without a doubt. Tim Nash says, clients don't actually care. That's going to... I might miss the Tim Nash bit out at the beginning, but that, I think, will be the episode. So some more comments about that, just to keep this going for a little while. Where were we? Nomad Skateboarding. Hello. Some also choose to run their own race, so they can't be left behind in the popular one. Oh, interesting. Yep. Okay, yeah. So forge your own path, make your own way, and be the trailblazer, and everybody follows you. So this is definitely Steve Verge's picture, but I don't recognize the handle there. So normally it says something different. But there we go, Ali Deer. So Steve Verge, the flat cap and headphones are a brand. I'd recognize Nathan's silhouette anywhere. That's very kind. I appreciate that. I've just put the same comment up twice. What scares me now, says James, is when a client comes to you with a solution based on what AI told them. Oh.
So I...
Yeah, okay.
Can I say, it shouldn't scare you.
Right.
you should have a ready type of approach answer in how you deal with this, because this is the new reality. I have clients as well who are paying me handsomely every month for XYZ. There's a, you know, a variety of things that I do. Every now and then someone now says, hey, I've seen this and the AI said I can do this. Why don't you integrate this for me? And then I explain them why this is or isn't a good idea. But in detail, you need to have these answers ready now.
Right. That's a great start. Should be your opening hand for any statement when it
comes. Absolutely.
That sentence.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I mean, that's a great start. That means you've had a conversation where you hashed out what you want and we have a direction.
It's no different than back in the days. I remember doctors hated when you go to WebMD and bring in a diagnosis.
Yeah.
And those doctors have kind of fallen by the wayside. Now when you go to the doctor, and you've Googled it, they're like, oh, we really appreciate the fact that you've gone and done all the work, because we only have 15 minutes to talk to you anyway. And it's best, you know, and I will tell you why this is wrong, but I will also tell you why this is right. And if you're going to an expert, that's what an expert does. An expert says, hey, thanks for doing the research before you came here. It means you're serious about your project. And here is, like you said, this is a great start. And this is how we can expound upon it, and this is how we can build on it. And if the reality is, there are going to be people who embrace AI, and there are people who don't. And the get off my lawn people, I'm sorry, they're going to have to find another industry, because AI is here. You're going to have to deal with it, and you're going to have to deal with everything that entails.
Correct.
Okay, so all of that was spawned by we sort of went off in myriad directions there, but that was really nice. They're the best bits of this podcast.
Do you mind if I add one last bit about article?
Of course not. No.
Which is, and I think it was you who said it, but I think they've had far less responses this year.
I was going to bring that up. Thank you, Tim.
The survey, let's just put it back on the screen. So the survey had 622. I can't for certain say that that's down, but
change
some
the
reason
URL.
I think it was.
The word five there.
Let's try 25. Yeah, let's try that. Good point. I don't know if it'll surface it in the same way. Da, da, da. Yeah,
1,250.
Literally half. Yeah.
Okay, 2024.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see what we get with that. Da, da, da. Similar, 1,200-ish. Yeah.
But I feel like that in itself is indicative of something. Whether that is business owners who are going, actually, I'm in a really negative place, and especially if I suspect that when it got to the financials in the questionnaire, that's where a lot of the cutoff came, where people saw when, I've had a bad year. and that just was where they turned off and stopped putting in, or whether it is an indication that we really have just lost half an industry, which I don't believe is the case, but I found that to be possibly the biggest statistic of all, because I don't think the admin bar has lost half its readership. I don't think it's lost its impact to reach its audience by half in a year, which means there must be another reason that it...
Well, I think there might also be survey fatigue. Just people are tired of filling out surveys.
That could be it.
Yeah. Okay, so it spawned a lot. There's so much data in that. And it is literally just presented as data, with Carl dropping in some thoughts about, you know, what that data might mean. But no sort of overall conclusions. But we definitely tossed that around a little bit. That was fascinating. So we've got very little time left, so we'll just whip through a few of these. So this is an interesting one. It's by Matthias Reinholtz. And I don't know if this kind of speaks to what we've just been talking about, you know, this fear out there of our industry sort of shrinking or what have you. But there seems to be a lot of trying out new things, let's put it that way, out there in the wild. And, you know, so lots of things about setting up dev environments for contributors at WordCamps, lots of educational initiatives in the WordPress space that didn't exist before. And now we have this, which I think is so interesting. So Matthias is obviously an automatician, because this post is kickstarting a radical month at Automattic. Now, Remkes, I think, knows more about this in terms of who's in and who's out. But this person, along with a companion inside of WordPress, has been authorized for 1 month, and I'll just read it. Today is the first day of Radical Speed Month at Automattic. For 1 month, I get to pair up with a colleague and build something real. No design reviews, no product sign-ups, no marketing sign-off. I'm curious to see what a pair can ship in a month without the usual approval chain in place. And so they have decided to do a particular thing. You can find out more on the website. But I don't know if everybody gets to do this if you're a developer at Automattic. In other words, has Automattic more or less shut down for a month, or is it just like a cherry-picked, you know, five or six, seven or eight people? Which and one, Remkes?
Cherry-picked, and it's not cherry-picked. Five, six. Okay. There's quite a number. Our friend Jamie Marsland is one of them.
Okay.
It's best I have gathered that this is a mechanism to spark creativity and productivity and just
blue sky thinking, unconstrained.
It's a hackathon type of approach, right?
But it's a month of a hackathon. I mean, you know, it reminds me of those days when Google gave all of their dev employees, in fact, I think everybody, I'm not sure, like a Friday off every week, right? It was 20% time and you could do whatever you liked. And loads of stuff came out of Google because of that 20% time. I'm sure there was a hell of a lot of waste. But
that's how I see this.
Right. So it's like the 20% time. But a month, I mean, gosh, I'm imagining these people are bright individuals. They've got loads of history doing things. I'm very curious to see what the heck comes out of a month.
So a month is essentially saying, don't think too small.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly that. Yeah.
Which is what we're inclined to do anyway, because, you know, APR, what is that? You research a particular bug or a small feature, this and that, and here's my PR, and voila. But if you have a month, you get to think about it, you get to experiment, you get to play, you have your buddy that you're back and forthing with. I like this. I like this a lot, actually.
It's a very confident step financially as well. You know, that's not a cheap gesture.
No.
It's going to cost millions of dollars, presumably.
But it might reward them with millions as well.
Yeah. Imagine if one of the ideas turns into, I don't know, the next SaaS app. Obviously, Automattic, we align it very much with WordPress, don't we? But they also have irons in many fires. They've got podcasting things. You know, there's all sorts. So they've got like day one, haven't they? Like a journaling app and things like that. So perhaps if the gamut is not going to be limited around WordPress. But I just thought that was really curious. So let's see what these folk do. Sorry, Tim, I think you might have been trying to say something.
I was sitting here going, what if I could just have a month? I could do so much cool stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do anything else for that month.
Yeah.
Right now, I think anybody who's got that time, This is possibly the fastest point to be able to go from idea to implementation
that
we've ever had.
It's so wild.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's not James. Sorry. Nomad Skateboarding. I presume, let's just assume that this is research and it's true. 400 plus teams doing that. So by that, do you mean 800 individuals or there's 400 different, you know, paired people? Either way, that's not nothing. Wow, gosh, that's going to be so interesting. Let's watch this space. Let's see what comes back in a month's time. It wouldn't be surprising if there was
That's 30 days of shower thoughts, which is when all the good ideas happen. So
I wonder what these individuals will do with themselves there. I wonder what their day will look like, you know, whether they'll just, I don't know, go and sit on the beach and enjoy themselves whilst doing it, as opposed to stuck in Slack meetings at home and things like that. Anyway, fascinating, and an Automattic, which is definitely trying out some new things. So let's see where that goes. Anybody else on that? Oh, it came from an Automattic post on the Facebook page that gives you an insight into the whole program. So it is 800 people. Man alive, that is not a cheap thing to have offered for free. Wow. Okay. Okay, there we go. That's that one. Let me just get that comment off the screen. We really are running out of time. Where did we get to? No, there's no time for that. There probably isn't time for that. No, let's just go straight to this one.
I kind of like the agenda one.
Okay. Do you want to go for this one?
I think this is an interesting take that sort of has been forming as we were seeing 7.0 come to be, coinciding with quite a few things happening on the AI side of things. First of all, this is published on automatic.com, so it is in some way promotional. It is in some way positioning, sure. But WordPress does have the opportunity with the market share that we have and with 7.0 being first step into integrating AI on a few different levels, it does have the absolute perfect position to turn into the operating system of the agentic web. It's more than just branding the thing. I think this is actually something that's starting to happen. It is an entirely new argument as to why you should want to use WordPress. Because yes, why open source is the choice and the MCP is the thing. And, you know, but there's already a lot of stuff going on inside and outside of WordPress, but connecting to WordPress that really makes WordPress a fine candidate for this this concept, the operating system of the agentic web.
It is so interesting, this debate. So I'll just read into the record the name of this piece. So it is on automatic.com, and the piece is called WordPress : the operating system of the agentic web, and it's James Grierson, I think you would pronounce his name as, and he's running through the, you've probably thought of most of these thoughts if you're into WordPress, I would have thought, how WordPress could easily serve as the foundational layer of future initiatives on the web, like it says, the operating system of the web. And as you would imagine, the things that are brought to bear in this argument are things like the scale of WordPress, so 43%, and all of the community that brings, the 61,000 plus pro, you know, paid for plugins, which probably take it well over 100,000, I would have thought, maybe more like 200,000, don't know. And the fact that open source, the nature of WordPress being open source is that the AIs know exactly what to do with WordPress because everything's freely available. So if you want to do a thing, the AI knows already how to do that thing because all of the documentation and what have you has been out there for many, many years. And that's kind of the context of his argument. He goes into the pros and the cons. There's a little bit of me when I hear this argument where I think, I wonder in 10 years' time what we'll think about arguments like this, whether it will have been a case of, okay, that was very optimistic. We were desperately clinging for WordPress to be the thing. And the reason I say all of that is because I don't even know what's going to happen in 2 weeks' time in AI. It just seems to be happening at such a breathtaking pace.
But if the foundation of that is WordPress and WordPress makes all the new things that are there to settle down as permanent things, it facilitates that, it operates with that, it integrates with that, it talks with it in a low effort manner, which is what 7.0 will be the first step towards. I don't see any other solution than outcome than yes, to some degree it will. I mean,
it's a strong argument, isn't it? I agree.
The same can be said when custom post types and taxonomies were introduced. Like, people said, oh, now you can build everything with WordPress and it'll be the future. And some people were like, yeah, I mean, come on, it's a blog. We're not gonna use a blog and to get out of here. And yet, those who were building understood what that unlocked. I kind of see this the same way, if I'm being really honest.
There is also the advantage that people know WordPress. If you were to ask an AI right now to spin you up a website, it would go and get you to tell you, it would start telling you to write some content into Markdown files, and then it would load up a Next.js app, which it would then spin up a bunch of crap into. It would then do a bunch of stuff, and then it will tell you, I have a website. And that's great until you need to fix something. Then you need to ask the AI.
That's the bit.
It is like you have locked yourself back in to those commercial developers we were dumping on ages ago who were building their own CMSs. It locks itself down in that way. WordPress is something that is known by everybody, that you can, that is universal, and that it could be deployed onto pretty much any hosting company you ever can think of. You can have it working very quickly, very easily. You can pay someone to maintain it. You can, and alongside this, if we make it easier and easier for AI to operate and use it and successfully, we have the best of both.
Yeah,
we maintain ownership, which is something that at the moment, people who are just flinging sites up with AI have actually losing, and they don't even realize they're losing that really vital part, which is true ownership, which is portability. Because they are stuck in a scenario where they're going to have somebody or something debug every time. Now, I'm not saying that every person who has a WordPress site should be doing development on a WordPress site, but they have that option, and they have the ability to go to a gamut of people, from really cheap companies to ginormous big VIP agencies, to help them alongside AI, which is a really powerful tool in its own right.
Yeah, it feels to me as if the direction of travel is a little bit more like the editing of already kind of AI-generated stuff is a big win for WordPress. So in other words, you know, you've told some AI to build you a web page. Now what? Like, how do you go and amend it? How do you, like, do you have to have a conversation? No, not that bit. The other cat, you know, that kind of thing. And so having it dumped into an interface that you're familiar with, it'll be really interesting to see in the future how much creation is done by the AI, and then the human in the loop bit is the, okay, now we need to amend it because it's Christmas and we want it to look Christmassy and yada, yada. That'll be really
with real-time collaboration, when you amend it, it will go, no, I didn't tell you to do that. But
oh, wheels within wheels. Go and check out the piece, though. It's on Automatic's blog. It's by James Grierson. It's called WordPress Operating System for the Agentic Web. I've got to say, I'm kind of convinced that I think it's that is how it'll turn out. Right, how are we doing for time? Not a lot of time. And have we got any new comments come in? Yes, a couple. So James, again, James is being a truly amazing commenter. Thank you. Off topic, he watched Dries from the Drupal project at DrupalCon in 2026, the keynote. And they, I remember seeing this too. They've got AI built directly into their dashboard. It's called Drupal Canvas. And you just basically start out a Drupal site now, don't you? Or at least you can. And it's all baked in right at the very beginning. And he makes the point that Dries made a good point, that even with all these agent platforms, a scaffold to the front end of the site is nice. You still need governance, humans in the loop, really, to help operate the nuances of the nuances of the back end. So there we go. Okay. Anything on that? I think we need to rush. We will rush. Here we go. A little while ago, a plugin came out as a suite of blocks, which I thought was quite nice. It enabled you to do a little bit more with core blocks. It extended the features. It was called Twentig. And if anybody played with it, it was pretty lightweight in that it didn't try to launch new blocks. It just added menus to existing blocks. They've decided to jump in the theming space as well. So I just thought I'd mention that. It's called Twentig One. I haven't tried it. I've no idea what it's like. As far as I can tell, it's free, just like their blocks were. But anyway, there's that. And yeah, we'll just raise that on the screen very quickly. And several of the panel can grimace. And did they grimace sufficiently is all I was moving on. This was supposed to be the thing that we talked about most this week, and yet we got totally derailed by the admin bars article. So
if you want to do that, you need to A, tell the panelists that this is the thing you want to focus on, and B, put it at the beginning.
He did hint at it, actually.
Hinting is not being very clear in your communication.
Never been good at this thing, doing a live show. But anyway, this is a bit of a big deal. And if you guys have got a couple of minutes, let's just explore it a little bit. This news dropped. This is the repository's version of it. But essentially, if you have WooCommerce subscriptions, there is a chance, and you have to have the docs incorrectly lined up in a row for this to matter to you, but there is a chance that you will have had subscriptions which your customers had set to auto-renew. WooCommerce subscriptions might have switched them off without alerting you or alerting your customers. And so basically, they just went into this completely silent fail state. Now, I don't have any of this, so it's just a news story to me. And it's, you know, it's kind of, wow, that's a shame. But it would appear that out there in the wild, there are people that are claiming that this has really cost them quite a lot of money. And now we're in that phase where the patches are trying to be put together. My understanding is much of it has already been patched. But it's quite a big story that if you've got it set up and the intention was to set it up so that, you know, things would tick over next year, the subscription would happen again. If it utterly silently failed, that's really, really bad from a business point of view. And it doesn't help WooCommerce out there in the public sphere, I wouldn't have thought. Anything to add to that?
A good example of where monitoring comes into its own.
Yes. Yes, but who does? I mean, obviously, the sites that say that this hasn't happened, that this has happened to them, presumably they weren't doing that. Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, I don't, not to, you know, that sounds like I don't care about the people who it has happened to. But if you're running a subscription, whether it's a membership site or you're running a subscriptions of any sort, and this surely affected a churn. I mean, maybe they're making enough that it doesn't affect the churn rate and the percentages were small enough, but even just your churn rate would have a noticeable change.
Does it look like though, if you're a WooCommerce store owner, that from everything I've read, it looked to them as if their customers had switched it off, because I don't know what the logs look like and, you know, what it actually looks like in the database and yada, yada, yada. But my assumption, I suppose, as a store owner would be, okay, I can see that that is now not set to auto-renew. I would just be thinking, there's a dissatisfied customer. Okay, we lost them. Let's concentrate on next year, getting a load of new people through the door. Do you know what I mean? I can see how this would slip through the cracks. Yeah,
but presumably, what is that whole one is unfortunate, two is a coincidence, three is starting to be... Again, it does depend on scale, because if this is only affecting 4 out of 1,000 customers a month,
yeah,
you're not likely, no amount of monitoring is likely to pick that up. But if it was, you know, if all of your subscriptions are suddenly having this problem, then that's going to be, you're going to notice, hopefully. And people seemingly did.
Yeah. So the person who figured this all out, I'm not even going to try and pronounce their name correctly.
Sibre-Vair.
There you go. It sounded as if it might be Dutch. What Remkes just said, they got into all of this, found a bug, and then penetrated deeper over the course of the next few days and found three more, total of four, and discovered that 121 subscriptions in their setup had been affected, and they lost 40. Oh, I mean, it's not nothing, is it? $43,000 in potential revenue. Now, you can't be certain that they were going to renew anyway, but nevertheless,
well, yeah,
some of them would.
Wouldn't the subscriber also notice that their subscription is not active? Or,
well, that's the only way that this would be alerted, is that the subscriber noticed and got back to the website and says, something's gone wrong. We wanted access to whatever it is, in this case, presumably a plugin.
I guess the "we're sorry to see you go" email that you absolutely hate when you're canceling subscriptions and your inbox fills in with "we're sorry to see you go, here, have 10% off if you click this button." You know, 90% of us will probably immediately bin. Might have been this case possibly have saved. No, I'd have just binned it. I'd have binned it.
Also, wasn't it a total silent fail? Did it? It didn't trigger any emails or anything like that, I think, as well. That's my understanding, is that it just failed utterly silently. So none of the usual cavalcade of emails that might have.
Yeah, that's how I took it. That's how I took it. I mean, it was completely just under the radar.
Opaque.
Maybe this is an example of where having your email marketing and email transactional system tied tightly into your WooCommerce.
Right. Okay, so you could have mitigated this on your own. Yeah, that's possible.
I mean, the thing is, you can't mitigate for a bunch of series of cascading failures. You can mitigate against lots of things, and we can be sitting here afterwards going, well, if you've done this and you put it like this, then you could have done this, and it would have been perfectly fine. But the reality is, stuff like this happens,
and it's
part of the cost of anything. This is the equivalent of somebody in the shop going and, you know, closing the front door and locking it by accident for 20 minutes at the start of the day.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Go and sack the employee. Anyway, WooCommerce are on it, my understanding is, and they're also trying to figure out if there's a way of an automated tool, for want of a better word. Mark's just turned into, like, he's gone to Hades.
Oh, there
you go. If there's a way of figuring out who these affected people are and then going back to them cap in hand, kind of basically saying, look, we messed up, the system messed up, what have you. So anyway, that was fairly big story. What else have we got? Nothing. Oh, couple of events. I'll just mention these quickly before we end. Web Agency Summit is around the corner, 27th of April, i.e. today it started. If you go to atarim.io/summit, you can get involved in that. And because time is short, this will be the last one. If you are thinking about going to WordCamp EU, which is happening in June, then the schedule has been announced in a lovely table with a lovely feature. You can actually highlight with this little star the bits that you like and send yourself an email because, you know, we're all lazy and that's helpful. That's it. That's all we've got time for. Take a breath, Mr. Wrigley. It's a lot cooler here than it is in India. That's all I'm going to definitely say that. Even though I've got the window open, at least I'm not pouring with sweat. Right, there we go. We will be back, hopefully, this time next week. All that it remains for me to do is say thank you to our three panelists, Mark, Benza Kane. Thank you, Mark. Remkes, somewhere there. Remkes de Vries, thank you. He says he's got some news next week. I don't know what that is. I want him to tell me now. He's not going to. Look, he's got that face of I'm not
you
staying.
Could do some investigating. And it's not my main site. Okay.
I'll do some investigating. When we finish this show, you can tell me then. And Tim Nash down there as well. Thank you very much. We will push this out as a podcast audio episode, which is how most people consume it. That'll happen tomorrow at 7:30 or 7 in the morning. And we'll be back, like I said, next week for some more This Week in WordPress. Take it easy. Thank you for... Oh. Got to do the handy thing. Quick, the hand wavy thing, if you don't mind. Only one hand from Tim. The one-handed. There we go. That'll do. That's great. See you all next week. Take it easy. Bye.
Ciao for now.
Ciao for now, indeed.